Good evening and welcome, friends. Let us begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the most holy living Trinity. Amen. Well, tonight we begin our time in a new configuration. As our time changes, the Christ candle has been lit, reminding us whether it is lit in our homes or whether it is lit in the sanctuary, Christ is always with us, within us, in our essential being, and outside of us. Today we gather as a body in this new way. And know that our shared intention and attention matters, that our presences individually and collectively matter. Our work matters for ourselves, one another, our families, and all creation. We are grateful. Tonight we'll be speaking about what has touched us so far from our journey together this year, and we'll also be taking a look at levels of man, humankind. So let us begin with the words of Thomas Keating from one of his later works. The concerns, distractions, achievements, ambitions, and other human activities are often monumental, awesome, and even frightening. And yet, compared to God's plan, they are nothing at all. The contemplative vision perceives God, even in the midst of disaster, turmoil, or personal failure. It never loses hope, because its hope is not based on human events, but on the divine goodness, which is infinitely powerful and infinitely merciful. The interaction between periods of silence and activity that is appropriate for us in our state of life and the social duties in which we find ourselves are to be taken into account. But know that time spent in waiting for God, or waiting upon God, or simply in doing nothing, is not lost time. It is cultivating the attitude of acceptance with our whole being. Our inmost being does not have to prove itself, because it is already infinitely loved. At the deepest level, it is free, joyful, full of love, compassion, and an awareness of the unity of all that exists. Amen. May it be so that we come to this knowledge and being. And if we knew this evening, there really would be no more to be said. So as we begin, here are a few just little notes for us to consider. Some of us are meeting for the first time in our homes. You know, I'm one of those, since I'm usually not at home. And this will be the first Zoom experience I have had, both as a participant as well as a presenter. So I began to consider creating sacred space at home, a sanctuary. So here's some of the things that you might take a look at for yourself as well. Prior to our class time or sometime ahead of it, would be to stop listening to the news and mulling over the day's tumultuous swings of news. Any anxieties in planning for tomorrow are engaging in even an unneeded conversation. Perhaps listening to chant, other sacred music, or simply abiding in the silence, or walking outside and breathing the natural air, turning off phones, shutting the door to our sanctuary, perhaps even leaving our shoes outside, placing an icon or a candle. Then, as you light the candle, you might wish to affirm the presence of Christ as the light, as your light. Take a moment and breathe deeply. I am present. And plan on being attentive and alert at least 5 minutes prior to our time together. After our time, you might want to spend a few moments in silence. And I'm sure there are many other gestures that you can also put forth as reminders to yourself. So I am blessed to be with each of you and all of you. Something new this evening, there will be an opportunity to respond during the sharing times. If you run your cursor over the bottom of the screen, you will see little icons. There is a raised hand icon. So if during the sharing you have something to share, all you have to do is click on that little icon and you will be placed in a queue, and then you will be invited to share as your place in the queue comes up. Everyone present here will be able to hear you, but not to see you. So we'll see how this works this evening. It's an experiment. So once again, let us prepare to dispose ourselves and move into our spiritual senses to receive knowledge within the deeper parts of the intellectual center, to have the deeper parts of our emotional center enlivened with valuation, to have our bodies sense the truth and goodness of what is being shared by our time together in order to receive it and embody it and manifest the Word made flesh in our own being. Please join me in a meditation. I breathe in deeply, holding this gift of life in Christ for a brief moment. Then I breathe out this healing goodness into the world. We breathe this together. I lightly scan my body, noticing if there are places of tightness and constriction, and I simply give them a loving glance. I relax my body. I am upright, attentive, receptive, strong back that holds me. I hand over the complexities of the day, knowing that they too are gifts. I hand over the plans for tomorrow, knowing that they will be addressed. I hand over the anxieties of my heart, knowing that they are known. Open heart, listening heart. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. I am totally present now. I will share on the screen our reading, which will come from the scripture passage in today's message. It will be read three times with a silent pause in between. You may choose, if you wish, to gaze at the image and listen to the words, or simply close your eyes and listen to the words, or read along with me, whichever way suits your mode of reception. From Psalm 8. When I see your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and stars that you set in motion, in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Woman, that you should care for her? Yet you made them little less than gods, crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands, put all things at their feet. O Lord our God, how awesome is your name through all the earth. When I see your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and stars that you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Woman, that you care for her? Yet you have made them little less than gods, crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands, put all things at their feet. O Lord our God, how awesome is your name through all the earth. When I see your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and stars that you set in place, What is man that you are mindful of him? Woman, that you should care for her. Yet you have made them little less than gods. Crown them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. Put all things at their feet. O Lord our God, how awesome is your name through all the earth. You're invited, as you are moved to do so, to share what you received from this passage, the word or idea or impression, the movement that you felt within, perhaps through the lens of the work. Yes, Karen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The passage to me was such a beautiful representation of the cosmic scale. Mm-hmm. But the end of the phrase, through the whole earth, brought it back to me and made me think in terms of in the whole earth, we are all breathing the same air and we're on the same planet. We're all experiencing this same virus.
Yes.
But there is such a body, if you will, of humanity. And then we're all cells in the body of Christ, but also as this human representation, and all going through with the same event, with the same fears and the same hopes and the same concerns, which gave me then great solace to know, even though I am isolated in my home, I'm not alone. I am with everyone, and they are with me.
Yes. Thank you, Karen. Frank.
I, like Karen, was struck with the idea of scale in the beginning of the reading and brought to a greater acceptance of who we are relative to the universe, relative to God. As the reading continued, it became more an exercise in self-remembering. Mm-hmm. It was just so lovely in the community that it created, but it came back to God. Mm-hmm. Lovely passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. And Michael.
Like Karen and Frank, the reading brought up the notion of scale. And from a work standpoint, it was reminding me of the ray of creation and the teaching that there are these unfolding levels of manifestation. You know, Gurdjieff uses the system of, you know, three orders of laws. First, there's the absolute, and then there's three orders of laws, and then 6 and 12 and 24 and 48. And that we are at this level of 48. But the connection to the reading, you know, that the Lord is in all the earth, is that three, it is the, you know, the Godhead or the Trinity, is present at 48 as well. That God is present in all aspects of materiality. That God is present in all aspects of creation and manifestation, from the large to the small.
Yes.
And, you know, there's this, you know, reminder in current circumstances that God is present in this. God is present in this thing that we call an event in life. And when I remember that, I am transformed. The impressions of the event are transformed. And I wonder what it's all about, but I no longer have the hubris to know what it's all about.
Indeed. Thank you, Michael. And someone else has your hand up. Hymns?
Mary?
Yes. Oh, okay.
This is Mary, and I'm presently in the Caribbean on an island off of St. Thomas. First of all, I want to thank the whole team for being on the internet so I can stay connected. But being so blessed and being down here, I've been seeing the moon and the stars in all of God's glory. And this really meant a lot to me when we were praying. And it's God has given us dominion over all of his works. And he has given us everything that we needed when he created the earth. And such sadness came over me tonight because we have not been very good stewards. And that's what came up for me tonight of everything that he has given. I sit on a piece of property of our son's, and he has a beautiful papaya tree, which is loaded full of good stuff. We have passion fruit tree, and then he has a tree, the moringa tree, also called the tree of life, where you can eat the seeds and also the leaves. And God has laid out before us, and even before me, here, just in this property, all these wonderful gifts. And I am so blessed in looking up under the stars. I'm sitting out here in the dark looking at the stars, and Venus is shining so brightly. And I feel like this human being is so little up on this earth. We're just little. But I just, the sadness of us not being very good stewards, and even me being not a very good steward, and I'm reminded of that of every day, of how I can heal the earth and be good to the plants and all of its creatures. So I've had a great moment down here of seeing God and all the little lizards, because they scare me to death. So I've had this big lesson going on. And I had to sit with one in my room, and I says, okay, because of this work, I said, okay, God, you are in this little lizard. We can cohabitate together. And to know I have great fear and anxiety, but I was able to lay down and go to sleep and have some peace after I did some meditation mm-hmm. about it. So it's much humor because God keeps bringing them everywhere. Okay. And today I had, they were everywhere. And I, every day. And I said, okay, God, I get the message. Please, you don't have to keep sending them to me. So
thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll have time for one more. Judith August.
Yes, as I was listening to the reading, I began with attracted attention and emotional part of intellectual center and emotional center. But I noticed I had to continue to use my intellectual part of intellectual and intellectual and emotional centers to keep that attention, because otherwise it would slip back into all the mechanical yana, which I'm sure everybody has their own version of, that is going on. So it reminds me of the importance of in each moment making a conscious choice. All negative emotions are untrue, the work teaches us. So may we remember that.
Thank you, Judith. And thank you, everyone, for your sharings, both those that were shared aloud and those who held them closer into the recesses of your hearts. Amen. Now I'm pleased to introduce Pamela Begeman, who will take us from sharings about our review of part one and into part two of our time together, wherein we'll enter into more depth into humanity, beginning with the topic of levels of man. So, Pamela.
Thank you, Mary Ann, and thank you, everyone, for being here. It looks like we have more than 135 participants, which is just astounding, actually. And the vibrations of this circle matter, the intentions of this circle matter. So I thank you all for making the effort to show up and for overcoming any of your concerns or fears with technology to do so. So I'm going to share on the screen last week's homework, but first I'd like to read a passage that was at the very end of the email last week, which was chosen and edited and included long before any of the events of the days happened. But the Holy Spirit is so wise in giving us these gems. So please follow along. One who attains the highest levels of consciousness is one who lives by the life of the whole. One who is ready to surrender her or his life for the whole. One who lives beyond the self for the whole. In awareness of deep relational bonds of love. Not standing idle, but standing in the creative tension of new life. To live in God is to live in the chaos of love, a resilient love that dances with disorder because something new is always bubbling within. So how auspicious that that passage was given to us, and that we are called to live in God in love and to dance with disorder. I love that. It really speaks to one of the ideas of the work that we covered, which is working with delight. So last week's homework, which you can also see on the screen, is in this time of review to read the email a few times during the week and give yourself time, which it turns out many of us were given more time. We were invited to breathe and then relaxed and open, allow yourself to wander through these ideas. What is calling to you? And then with a spirit of delight, explore the commentaries, previous emails, the glossary, and class notes. And listen and ask, I wonder, what is God showing me at this time? So I'm going to stop sharing, but if at any point you would like to see this again, just raise your hand and let me know. So in the review, we covered the topics of good householder and the fourth way, self-remembering, self-observation, working with delight, the beauty of the work, the five strivings, and faith. And of course, seated within all of those teachings were many other work ideas that we included and briefly explored in some of the teachings. So in your review, and in the events of the week, what came to meet you? What called to you? How did the work come to meet you? And I invite you to risk raising your little digital blue hand. Leslie, thank you. Leslie, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I moved from Austin to Colorado Springs last summer, and it was a devastating decision because of leaving the church. And but I was in the Journey group last year and had my Zoom group. And soon then was able, well, to zoom in to the Thursday night class. I can't actually remember when that started. And I can't tell you how happy I've been to be there with you all in class again, because I came every Thursday for like 8 years. And then my new Zoom journey group, and last Sunday to be able to zoom into church, even though no one was sitting there, but to be with Peter and be right in the service. I've been listening to them the following week. So, and with these emails, and I did listen again and review. And what I feel now, it's what God is calling me, is just that I am loved and I have my family, my family is here with me, but you are my family. I am so grateful to Michael, to Jeff, to Marianne, to all the teachers in this class, to Donald, but to make this technology available, it just feels unbelievable in scale and just that anything is possible and that we're all together. And so that's my sharing.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for your presence. Donald? Don Hale, please.
I self-observed this week being identified with thoughts. And the interesting part of the observation was that I observed I was identified with being identified with the thought. And the remembering and the work came to meet me to remember to uncritically self-observe. And with that experience, I felt the delight of the work, and I could never really connected uncritical self-observation with a light touch, working with delight and with a light touch with what is happening. And also, all this happening led to the experience throughout the rest of the day as I continued observing this and non-identifying, that these thoughts were not mine, that they only became mine when I identified with one, just like in centering prayer. And I jumped on one and did a while, and hopefully after a while recognized that I didn't have to be connected to it or identified with it, and I could let go of it. And it was just happening. Again, it was just a renewed delight in the work, that I was free of this leak. And I could feel the resurgence of force as I sealed up these places where usually I'm gathering wool and identified. And so these work principles all working together all at the same time was a true delight.
Thank you, Don. And I love what you said about I could realize they're not my thoughts, because there's a very powerful field that is in the world right now, a very powerful negative field, a kind of cosmic debris, if you will. And it's very, because of how connected we are, whether you're watching the news or not watching the news, it's there. And so to realize that we live in that context right now and to be vigilant, but not necessarily have to claim it as I, we can feel it. And I love the term a light touch, or like Marianne's word, we can glance at it. We can give it a little glance, but we don't have to own it as ours. And at the same time, we're playing our part in grounding that energy. We talked about that last week. There is a part that we play when we can say, this is not I. I feel it. I see it. It's swirling, but this is not I. And self-remember. And then just a little piece of that energy has been grounded and even transformed. Thank you, Don. Bob. You're probably getting a little, there you go. Bob. Okay.
Thank you. thank you for, I needed to hear this tonight, and I am sure I'm not the only one of 100 of us or so. And I really appreciate what Leslie said first about how folks at the behind the scenes, in a sense, at the Church of Conscious Harmony are really making the most of this technology and enabling us to connect in a new way, but in a profound way. And, you know, I would thank you, Don, for saying that, because I've felt all over the place this week with all these different eyes coming at me. There's the eye of outrage. There's the eye of fear. There's the eye of okay, I'm good with this. I'm ready to go. There's the eye of, you know, I think we all know what these eyes are. And of is this person going to infect me or am I going to hurt someone else? All of this not knowing. And it's like we've all been immersed, you know, in this, we're all mystics, I think, in a way, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But we've all suddenly become immersed in this cloud of unknowing. And the idea of surrender and practice, doing that, and the welcoming prayer, for example, mm-hmm. was very difficult for me today. And in the last few days, it has been. And, you know, I really appreciate the community and people that are here sharing who we are and what we're really here for and grounding us in the spirit, because I don't feel like I've been grounded very much in the spirit. Mm. You know, I have been, but I've been all over the place. So thank you for offering this.
Thank you, Bob. And I appreciate you anchoring that outside of yourself in the circle and seeing what is not I and bringing it into the light, especially in the light of a larger circle. That's already the beginning of non-identification and self-remembering. And you're right, it's not easy, but the effort and the continual effort is worth it. Thank you. Billy.
So I just came off of the Lenten retreat, and during that time, of course, I was in this little cocoon of mm-hmm. Of bliss, and it's not as though we were ignorant of what was going on, but I think I'll speak for myself. I felt safe and protected and in this incredible bubble of light and love. However, I don't want to go into story here, but we had some fairly devastating news on Friday, and that my husband's father had passed away in his sleep. And watching the pendulum swing from an incredible high to having the rug pulled out from under you was an interesting exercise in self-observation. Then we got home and felt, you know, suddenly kind of the sting of the fear that's here. That was not felt when we were on retreat, but coming home without even talking to anybody or seeing the news, it's just like you said, whether you're watching the news or not, mm-hmm. it's there and you can sense it. And it was very palpable, the sense of fear that's just pervasive right now. And then a second event on Tuesday, we lost our little dog to the Rainbow Bridge, as it were. And I can tell you, trying to self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember at times has been utterly impossible. I would use inner stop to stop me from replaying over and over again, you know, these events that were so devastating and hurtful and painful. Mm-hmm. But I'm thrilled that these tools are there, because I at least could stop myself from replaying and over again, you know, the movie of whatever it was that happened. And whether or not I could say that I was
not identifying is a whole different matter. But I'm not sure what else to say about it, but it's been a really interesting experience. I was very happy that we were on a week of review, so that I wasn't trying to integrate and assimilate something else. Thank you for the timing of the review. It couldn't have come at a better time in my life.
Another movement of the Holy Spirit. It's important, especially when we're in times of shock and very vulnerable events like what you're describing, Billy, that even though we are remembering and making whatever efforts, it doesn't mean that it goes away, but it also doesn't mean those efforts are not working, if you know what I mean. In other words, that's big energy to digest, especially not only the context of the whole world, but then these personal events that came to you. They're not magic wands, but they are a step deeper into our centers and deeper into the truth. And we take that step, and it's all still, all the feelings and thoughts and the replaying, as you said, are still there. But we take that step, and that step matters. And we meet the Spirit with each step. So just the fact that we remember, even if it doesn't feel like anything is happening, is huge. It's huge. Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi.
I half expected not to be called because I thought maybe a lot of people wanted to talk, but I think it's very, I'm humbled, I guess. I feel strongly that God has prepared me a lot for this moment. Even just last week when I was struggling with my lower eyes of faith and questioning what I was doing, or whether this spiritual journey was real or not, or could I trust it? And now a couple of days after, I was struggling with that and working through that and really appreciating everybody's feedback about that. Here we are in this way bigger event. It really brought faith to a new level for me. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like, in a way, God was preparing me for this bigger question of faith. And and I watched one of the things that I really took to heart. Just even this weekend, I was watching Bernadette Roberts has a YouTube video about No Self, and I was watching that, and she mentioned that until we get to the point where we are experiencing No Self, our experience of God is really our experience with ourself. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me in a big way, because it was about my faith and trust in myself, really.
Yeah, that's right.
And I realized those little eyes were coming out in such a big force, because I was really looking at my programs for happiness, and they were really coming out because they did not want to be diminished. Mm-hmm. And then when I was brought back into this bigger, I felt like I was a little bit self-absorbed last week, and then the virus kind of brought things into perspective and brought me outside of myself. Mm. And I have been experiencing moments like everybody else of getting drawn into This American Life said it was the low hum of menace that was around us. And I was getting drawn in and thinking about all of the, this could be dragged on for months, and all of the terror that's out, or the panic that's out there. And I have experienced that, but I've also experienced higher levels of self, where I realize that God is so much bigger than this virus. And at any time, we could see a miracle happen. And really, if I could just focus on that miracle, and if a lot of other people could just focus on that miracle, God can work those miracles if he chooses to do so. And especially if we as a society, balance in the way that we need to be balanced by this virus, and whatever lessons that are going on right now, if we could all get there, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really trying to focus on co-creating that reality, and trying to spread that message to as many people as I can.
Right. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. So what you think and how you see and at what level and the depth of faith that you have in God's plan radiates to others and does co-create. And the miracles are already happening. The miracles are already happening. You can look around and see them. But again, what impressions or what influences do we put ourselves under to see those miracles? A question that I asked myself, and I see a couple of hands in the queue, so we'll get to you in a minute, is one of the ideas in the work that we introduced along the way was first conscious shock. So the question of the day is, what do I do with these shocks? Where do they land in me? Do they land in a new place, or do they land in a mechanical place or a negative part of center? And first conscious shock really calls us, it's a form of self-remembering, where if impressions land in us in a new way, we literally can transmute them. And we literally receive new energies for our own transformation. And there are diagrams in the commentaries which show this transfer of energy. But I've been asking myself, what am I doing with this shock, and where is it landing? And because of different practices, there's been an unbelievable amount of peace, which surprises me, and it's not anything I'm doing, but the influences that I'm being given, how I'm spending my time, the prayer, the call to inner stillness, that's where those impressions are landing. And it seems then when they land in a place like that, they're taken care of. So the faith that you spoke of, Suzanne, and the level at which you're seeing is a way of first conscious shock. It's a way of practicing that and remembering. Thank you. Chris.
I've been focusing on one thing that came in the reading last week about self-remembering being an incarnational practice, and how important that is. And it kind of spoke to me. I know incarnation is not easy. I'm sure it was not easy for Christ when he came. And that whole, the whole learning of the incarnation and the whole learning of what we've been studying is that life is our teacher.
Yes.
And when these events happened, that was the first thing that came to me that said, all right, you've been studying all of this. You've been learning all of this. Yes, you practiced it in small ways, but now this is an incarnational way to practice everything we've learned along the way, whether in centering prayer, with the work, with all of those practices that we've been doing. It's my opportunity to use this episode in life, this situation, to in some way develop that incarnation within me.
Yes.
And also we talked about, you know, how are we in a horizontal content of light, or are we remembering the vertical context of life?
Yes.
And there are so many things that bring us to the vertical context of what's happening. As you may know, Fred is one of those risk people, high risk. If he were to get the virus, he wouldn't make it. And our neighbors are aware of that. And although there's been a lot of fear in many places, on our street, there has been a lot of love and concern. Mm-hmm. We've had many people call us and say, what can I get from you? What do you need from the store? You need anything from the pharmacy? What can we do for you? Probably 3 to 5 people have really been coming forth. And I say, well, you know, there are good things happening in this, kind of like 9/11. There was a lot of coming together. And I think that's what's happening to us. There's a lot of coming together in our small community here where we live. But there's also a lot of coming together in our Zoom community, our journey groups, our learning on Thursday night. And so it just makes me aware of what it said, that God is the source and the animating presence in and through all of life. Even this situation, God is here.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Chris, and thank you for reminding us of that teaching, that life is our school. So how are we taking this curriculum? Okay, I think we will, I know there's some more hands up, but I think we'll turn to the teaching of the next lesson. And so as Marianne said, we're starting the second part of our curriculum, which is all about humanity, ourselves. So here we are. And I loved how the email started today with a question or an imagination exercise. So I just want to read that to you. Imagine a room full of people gathered for a special event. Seemingly, we see the same things, we hear the same things, we sense the same things. Yet the experience of what is perceived varies dramatically from individual to individual. Why is this? And so you could take the events of the day and ask the same question. There's a huge shock happening, and yet the shock is landing it very differently in people. Why is this? And that can change from day to day, because we know we're a multiplicity. So how we take an event might change hour to hour even, especially if there's some new shocks in our own life. So the way that the work would answer this and many other wisdom teachings is to acknowledge that humanity is on different levels. And I'd like us to hold that idea lightly, the idea of levels. That's not a concrete thing. It's not like there's literally demarcations. between us or within us. But it's a conceptual way of, first of all, acknowledging the multiplicity within us and the difference in our experiences of meeting different people. So we've all had experiences of meeting old souls, and we've had experiences of meeting young souls. We've had experiences of talking about the current situation, and we might be talking with people who are in great fear, and we might also have the opportunity to talk with people who have great peace and hope and faith. So that's an indication of different levels. So everyone has their own level of being. That's one of the teachings. And we also all have the opportunity to evolve. And that's the good news. And that's why there's now 141 of us gathered on this call tonight. That we're here because we know we have the opportunity to evolve, because we have the wish to evolve. We're here to work despite the circumstances, despite the fact that our attention could be 100 other places right now. At any given moment, our level of being is just a point. It's not the whole story. It's a wave that's collapsed into a point, but just as easily, when we self-remember, can turn back into a wave. And in externally considering others, we can see the same thing. We don't take other people as a single unchanging I. In fact, in the work, it's said that that's doing violence to another person, to take them as a singularity and not acknowledge with compassion the multiplicity and the different levels of being. So in today's email, it started off by talking about the level of mechanical humanity, which is known as man number 1, 2, and 3. And what that means for those of you who are new to the work is that these levels of humanity have one center developed typically, or overdeveloped. So man number 1 is oriented in the moving or instinctual center, man number 2 in the emotional center, and man number 3 in the intellectual center. And there's more work to do because we have 3 centers and we have 2 higher centers. In other words, we're called to a full incarnation of our being. So mechanical, the circle of mechanical man typically only uses one center or lives from one center. And because of that, typically is not able to understand others. So we kind of talk at each other like this or on different levels. And I wanted to read something that David Hawkins says about levels of being. He said, from previous consciousness studies, it was learned that everyone is born under optimal conditions for karmic opportunities. Therefore, it is wise to judge not, for what appears as misery or catastrophe may be the doorway to liberation for those who have negative karma to undo. Thus, seemingly catastrophic events may be the very essential and necessarily elements for the evolution of the soul. And then he speaks to a higher scale of things. He goes on to say, thus, by collective karma, whole groups are drawn to specific situations that may appear as catastrophic, yet hold unseen karmic benefits. So that's an invitation to accept where we are, to accept the scale of what is happening with humanity, with hope and faith, that we're being drawn into evolution, that this, we're being invited, as Ilya said, to dance with this disorder, in faith that God's love is drawing us forward into something that we can't know. The next level of humanity that the work talks about is number four man, or what's known as balanced man. And balanced man is a process of evolving and awakening where the centers become more balanced, where we begin to understand one another, where we begin to work against our own negativity and violence and not spread that violence and infect others. So in other words, there's possibility. And there's a description of what is balanced man in the email, which I had not seen before. And I'd like to read that for you because it's an affirmation of the possibility. And the first thing it says is that our work in becoming balanced man begins with self-observation. So we talked about last week, if I were to summarize everything that we have received thus far, it's all about the effort to self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember. And thus it is the same in our work in balancing ourselves. So balanced man has a permanent center of gravity, has contact with higher centers, or what we might call the indwelling presence. Balanced man works with the work with intention and aim, has real conscience awake, uses all centers and all of a center and the right center in a situation, in each situation. And this one is very important. Can remember oneself at essential moments. So certainly this is an essential moment. So I'd like to just stop and see if there are any questions or comments or where this might be landing in you. There were some hands that were raised before we began. One is 254. Do you still have a question or comment? Go ahead.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I feel invited, and it's never been that clear, to ponder many times a day when it's time to actively wait. And when it's time to do. It requires for me at that stage of my life a lot of attention.
Yes.
A lot of pondering. With as much curiosity as I can afford, torn between a call from others to talk and a need or a call or a procrastination to dive into silence. So I simply share tonight, and I thank you to be able to do it.
Thank you.
I simply share at that time the tension I feel and what I call, what I remind myself to call a creative tension, maybe.
Yes.
So let's see where it goes.
Yes, let's. Tell me your name.
Isabel.
Isabel. Thank you, Isabel.
So I've been a listener of your group. I've been aside for many years. And it's interesting that I feel a call tonight to share. And to publicly acknowledge a belonging I've never been able to acknowledge before.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where are you from?
I'm from France, and I've been invited again for the last days to deal with the tension or to bear the full responsibility of having spent 20 years away from my dear family members. And what's going on right now, especially as our parents are getting older and got hospitalized on the last days. Mm. And I'm away. Aha. Mm. At the same time, I wouldn't be able to be who I am without having left. So again, this is a tension to bear.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us and adding your voice to our community and letting us know that you're there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. I actually was just having something to share earlier, not really now with what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just was going to say that all the events that are happening in life feel like a first conscious shock to, like what you were saying, to wake up and transform and to see, to not take life for granted, to not take anything for granted, because, you know, on March 1st, everything was going along as normal. And then all of a sudden, everything just fell apart, and not just with this virus, but with companies, with everything. And it's kind, and it's just, to me, it's been really beautiful because it's like, wow, we're so connected, not only spiritually, but physically, with jobs and with everything, and we support one another, and now everything is coming crashing down, and it's this shock of, let's not take life for granted. And now people are at home, and I go for walks, like our whole company's remote at home now, and I go for walks, and people are with their kids out on their lunch break going for walks and playing football. And I don't know, I've just had a, it's just been a real shock to me about how connected we are. We take it so for granted. Well, I take it so for granted. And it's just been beautiful to see.
Thank you. It is beautiful. Let's see, Karen. Okay, Karen, I can't get you to, you're running an older version of Zoom. So we'll continue on. All of those qualities that I read about Balance Man that are in the email are more than just about balancing our centers. I think sometimes when we talk about the levels of man and talk about Balance Man in particular, there's a temptation to think it's about work on our centers and right use of centers, which is going to be our homework, and that's fine. But if you look at that description of balance, man, it has much as much to do with working against negative emotion. It has as much to do with setting aim. It has as much to do with connection to real aim, to work on all three lines. And so it, again, holding the idea of levels lightly, but also expanding our idea of where the work is in reference to the evolution of Balance Man. One of the other things that the email mentioned, which I think is very pertinent to this time, is it said, a man of great being is a man who never complains. And therefore, a man or woman who is always complaining has small being. And I thought about that for myself and really felt into a deep place that did not want to add to the negativity of the world. To take all with equanimity and acceptance. To be in that place of inner stillness that Isabel also talked about. Knowing that it does create an attention as all these impulses within and without are pulling at us. But anytime there is the impulse to complain or even lightly comment, gives me a clue of where my being is at the moment. So that particular phrase came to meet me in today's email. We are coming up to close to the end of class, and I want to just share on the screen from today's email the homework. Which again is in the email, what is your work to become number four or balance man? Each day consciously aim to use the right center for the purpose at hand. And then I'm adding, because of the circumstances, non-critically self-observe any complaining. Non-identify and self-remember. This raises level of being. And I want to give an example, a personal example of using the right center for the purpose at hand. So as you might imagine, we've had to make a lot of quick changes to keep the Journey School accessible and going. And it required some technology changes. It required that Marianne and I learn some things very quickly. And that didn't require the emotional center at all. It required intention and focused attention. If the emotional center was useful at all, it's curiosity for me. The emotional center is not useful to me if I get frustrated or impatient, especially when there's not a lot of time. So I had this experience of, and also working with Marianne and Michael to make this happen, of just doing the next thing without the emotions having a place in the whole process. And that became a very up close and personal example of using the right center for the task at hand. So I'm going to stop and ask if anybody has any questions or comments on the homework or anything that we've talked about up to this point about levels of man and our mechanicality. Nicole?
It's interesting. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The what is my purpose at hand? That mm-hmm. is what I've been struggling with so much, is knowing what my purpose is. So it's interesting that that's this work. This week's work is, you know, using the right center for the right purpose. But I've been struggling with what is my purpose right now? Mm. You know, as you know, I have two young children. Not, well, they're not that young anymore. Huh? And I have to self-isolate because I'm helping my sister who has cancer, my mom who's elderly and can't leave her facility. And it's just interesting because I guess that's the main thing I've been struggling with is what is my purpose? And then I want to help others. So it just, that's it.
Well, when we don't know, the easiest answer is what is right before us, what has been given to us in the moment, what is within our small circle of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you have a house full.
Yeah, that's interesting because it's been, okay, there's dirty dishes. Okay, the maid can't come. Let's do the vacuuming, which was the vacuum cleaner beat me today because I have bruises all over my face. I'm glad you can't see me. Mm. but then there's this tear of like, how do I use my intellectual center? Mm. Need that I need to use all centers. And if I'm not using all centers every day, then I'm failing. And, you know, it's just this, I guess it's a lot of self-criticism going on.
Yeah, I hear that. Mm-hmm. I hear that. So you've just anchored that outside yourself. You know, David Hawkins' map of consciousness gives me some clues about where I can step up to in the level of being. And especially sometimes when the emotions are being the rogue elephant, that there's a level of rationality that I can stop, I can sink into that inner stillness, I can use the focused attention of the intellectual center to start choosing the next thing. Like, you know, and it can be as simple as what you just said. I had dirty dishes in the sink before class started, and I could walk around being nervous, or I could just do the dishes before I sat down for this class. So sometimes that the use of our intellectual center can be very simple. It doesn't necessarily have to mean figuring things out or studying. It can just be becoming quiet and focused and attending to what's at hand and trusting that. Thank you, Nicole. Suzanne.
Yes, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the appropriate use of centers. And I think probably my least developed center is the body. And so I'm trying to understand how would you describe the appropriate use of the body?
Well, there's a classic example that Nicole gives somewhere in the commentaries that we don't use our intellectual center to climb the stairs. That's the wrong center. So we just climb the stairs and the body knows what to do. If we feel like the body is underdeveloped in our incarnational presence, we might look at how to engage it as part of our daily practice. And in fact, our rule of life at the Church of Conscious Harmony purposely includes things to engage the body, like conscious movement in the morning. So to what extent is that a part of your daily practice? One of the things I'm developing lately is I've taken up painting again, and I can see when I'm at a class, I can see if my emotional center gets in the way of what is just coming through in the strokes and the intuition, if there's negative talking or if I'm being self-critical. But there's sort of just a natural move that the body, I can drop into the body, drop the criticism, and just participate.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We are at the end of our time. I'm going to just share quickly one more time the homework so that you can see it and take it in. You can breathe it in. Take in that image. And as Nicole did, you might even read it and take it in the manner of Lectio Divina, for how it comes to meet you at a deeper level. So thank you all for your presence. And Marianne.
Thank you, Pamela. From Rodney Collin. Those who have seen truth radiate goodness. We cannot imagine how strong those radiations are, nor to what tremendous distances they can reach. We are like radios. The moment we are negative, we may tune in to the accumulated negativeness of someone else, perhaps thousands of miles distant, who has been negative for years. There are many, many different wavelengths, but there is always someone who has the same wavelength as our own, whom we affect, and who affects us, if we let them. That is one reason why it is so necessary to guard against being negative, in order not to collect the negativeness of other people and add it to our own. Think of the responsibility if we send negativeness. If we send it to someone else, it might just be someone who is just now getting out of a negative state and whom we push back by our own negativeness. When we are in harmony with each other, we produce a very high energy that goes hundreds of miles to people who need it. And from the Gospel of John, the wind blows where it wills, and you cannot hear the sound it makes. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with someone who is born of the Spirit. And let us close by joining together and praying aloud wherever we are, the prayer of God's love. God's love has met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen. Good night.